Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks. Find a penny and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomei.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on this Thursday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, of course, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Doing good on a Thursday. Another day closer, as we like to say, to the weekend here. World Series was entertaining last night. We're back to football, some college football, and NFL today. 2 hours. I'm ready to go, Kevin. Let's get after it.
A lot of stuff to break down, as Donnie mentioned, on a Thursday. We open it up with our 7-7 top headlines here. And the Astros have evened up the World Series, a 7-2 final score against the Atlanta Braves. That game going over that total of 8.5. Max Fried, a tough second inning, allowing 4 earned runs. And that's all Houston needed, Donnie, as we're level after 2.
Yeah, here we go. One of those World Series games that you said could hang in the balance here. You can't go down 0-2 if you're the Houston Astros going back to play the Atlanta Braves for 3 games in Atlanta. They pull it out 7-2, and everybody thought this was a pretty even series, Kevin. Maybe we are going to go 6 or 7 games here in the Fall Classic.
It might just be destined to be a long one here. Wanted to give people also the updated World Series MVP odds, because right now, Donnie, we do have a favorite, and that is Michael Brantley after another multi-hit game to get his World Series started.
Yesterday, after the 1-0 lead for the Atlanta Braves, the first 5 of 6 players listed under the MVP odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they were all Braves. Not the case this morning, as the series now is evened up. And yes, Michael Brantley at +550, Altuve at +650, and Kyle Tucker at 11-1 before Jorge Soler of the Braves comes in at 12-1, off and running 1-1 in the World Series.
Shifting over to the NFL, a trade, the trade you've all been waiting for. Mark Ingram moved back to the New Orleans Saints. There are some reinforcements coming into the Saints. Definitely need as many running backs as possible before you're going to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Donnie.
Yeah, some fun stuff here also in Houston. Brandon Cooks, not really a big fan of the trade, as he tweeted out some interesting choice words yesterday towards his Houston Texans squad. But if you're down, like the Houston Texans, they're already depleted on offense. They had 2 players. Now they're down to 1 player, who is Brandon Cooks. Good luck scoring some points this weekend. My goodness, Houston.
This should all be great for the Brandon Cooks season long, except Davis Mills is so bad, it's not that great. Maybe Brandon Cooks will find him his way to a more talented situation there. We'll follow, of course, because they are clearing house. How about the Arizona Cardinals? Got some tough news last night. We initially heard that J.J. Watt would be missing Thursday night football. Donnie, it appears he'll miss a lot more than that. Shoulder surgery likely knocking out J.J. for the remainder of this season.
Yeah, fantastic career for J.J. Watt, but as you've seen over the past couple years, missing large chunks of seasons because of injury. That's what happens to football players, man. You are crash test dummies out there, and sooner or later, when your body breaks down, it doesn't regenerate. It usually continues to break down. Tough one there for Arizona. Sitting on top of the football world undefeated, that's a tough blow for them, because certainly on the field and also in the locker room.
A cursed Thursday night game, it feels, between the Cardinals and the Packers. Arizona still 6.5-point favorites. That total 50.5. We'll be breaking that game down. I thought it was interesting that J.J. Watt news still not really shifting Arizona's status as the favorites to win their division at -195. And right now, almost neck and neck with the Rams in terms of overall NFC Championship odds. We bring the radio audience into the fold. Appreciate all those who are listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you here, going over some of the top headlines. And Donnie, apparently the Carolina Panthers officially out on Deshaun Watson. The list of suitors seems to be shrinking.
Yeah, I guess it's just the Miami Dolphins here, but I always love the, you know, information game that the NFL plays, because the report comes out, hey, Panthers are hot and heavy now, look at Sam Darnold, and then immediately Matt Rhule comes out and goes, I don't know where the story came from. We love our quarterback. Sam Darnold's our future guy. We never even picked up the phone and called the Houston Texans. Obviously, a little bit of bait and switch where one team doesn't want to let it get out and say, hey, Sam Darnold, we called behind your back to look for a quarterback, and at the same time, if you're the Houston Texans, what do you want out of this? You want as many people in the bidding process as possible, or at least to make you think there are multiple teams bidding here. I doubt that Deshaun Watson moves before the trade deadline on November 2nd.
At the end of the day, right, we often say where there's smoke, there's fire. But at some point, you need a little bit more than smoke here. This Watson stuff's been going around a long time and still doesn't seem to have any significant movement in terms of finding him a new place to play quarterback here in the NFL. Transitioning over to the NBA. Oh, goodness, oh, my. The Los Angeles Lakers blew a 26-point lead last night to the worst team in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder. But at least Russell Westbrook got a triple-double, I guess, Donnie. We asked, would the Thunder be the last winless team? Nope, all they needed was to see the Lakers without LeBron.
Yeah, the curse of the early line struck yesterday for sure when Oklahoma City was destined to go 0-82, not only to beat the Lakers last night, but you are correct, a triple-double by Russell Westbrook. The problem in this game, Kevin, early was, wait a second, Russ is dominating. Will he even need to play in the second half because the Lakers are going to win by 40-plus? Not so fast. What a comeback by the Oklahoma City Thunder at home, knocking off the Lakers.
Then again, at least Russ got that triple-double, a plus-210 price cashing on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Last one here, the Miami Heat. What a start for this team, Donnie. Shutting down the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn, 106-93 final.
Yep, the only thing I really worried about here is a couple three balls going down in James Harden getting that seventh assist, which he did. Fabulous performance, Brooklyn, especially for my wallet.
Joe Harris did make some history, the all-time leading three-point shot maker in Nets history. Come right back, the early line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Sports, so let's talk about the World Series action here. Game two goes to the Houston Astros at home. They beat the Atlanta Braves 7-2. This game going over that total of 8.5. And Donnie, we broke this game down yesterday, and there were a lot of signs pointing towards the Atlanta Braves. But I feel like we both cautioned the idea of Houston dropping consecutive games at home, and more specifically, their offense being stifled. Consecutive games at home, 5 runs within the first 2 innings, and they never looked back. A 7-2 final here in the second game of the World Series.
Yeah, obviously a big victory here for the Houston Astros. You can't go down 0-2 and then go play 3 games in the opposing team's ball yard and expect to actually make it back to Houston with a chance to win the World Series. What you liked about yesterday, Kevin, you're correct. You want to jump on teams early. You see in Game 1, the Atlanta Braves did that. Game 2, Houston, did you want to let it linger? You know, no runs in the first, second, or third, and oh no, here we go again. We're not going to be able to get some base hits here, and young Max Fried is pitching well in a World Series environment. That wasn't the case here. You jumped out to the 1-0 lead in the first inning. You tack on 4 in the second inning, so he had a 5-1 lead after 2, and it's just up to Urquidy just to do a decent performance out there, and he did better than that. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 Ks, no walks, was really in command of his pitches all night long, but also Max Fried on the opposite end, handicapping this game before it started. I thought the Braves would be a favorite in this game. They weren't. I thought the Braves would win the game. They didn't. I thought the Braves would score 3.5 runs or more. They did not. Credit to Houston Astros, the sign of a really good baseball team that's been there, done that in big situations. They did not panic, came away with an easy victory yesterday as they move to Atlanta now, Game 3 of the World Series starting Friday night.
The good thing for Atlanta is, to a degree, playing with a little bit of house money there. You took home field advantage by winning game number one. You go to Atlanta now for three straight games in this series. And that's ultimately what their goal had to be. I mean, you love to win the first two, don't get me wrong, but you wanted to get one of those first two games, and that's exactly what they did. The updated series price has Houston as a minus 140 favorite, the Atlanta Braves at plus 115. The interesting thing, though, Donnie, is we already can look at the lines for Friday, albeit very slight. Atlanta's favored in that game. And I feel as if Atlanta might just be favored in all of the games in their home ballpark here. When you factor that in, are you surprised to see the Astros right now sit at this minus 140 number?
It is kind of interesting because we see the ebbs and flows of the market conditions and, again, being early in the series. What do we like to equate it to, Kevin? You know, the MVP market in the NFL, the Heisman Trophy. Like, they fluctuate very early depending on the swings of players that are doing well. And you can certainly equate that, as I said, to Major League Baseball. But it is interesting here. Before game one of the World Series, series price is minus 150 for the Houston Astros, plus 125 here for the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves win. They were up to a minus 165 price yesterday. Now it's 1-1. You're heading back to Atlanta. So theoretically, what should happen here, Kevin? Two of three games should be taken by the Atlanta Braves in their home ballpark, which means they are now favored to win the World Series with only one game to win once you get back to Houston, if it plays out that way. But I'm not really shocked that I see the 140 price, because I think everybody sees, like, okay, Atlanta won game one. Oh, Astros even the score. They're the better team moving forward. And also keep in mind, you have no Charlie Morton for the rest of the series. That's an added advantage for Houston. You saw Max Fried, who had been pitching very well in Major League Baseball this year, now back-to-back bad starts in the postseason. So now we're saying, hey, Ian Anderson is our stopper out here. Each one of these teams don't have a dominant starting pitcher, it seems, left to go. So maybe you're just relying on Houston being the overall more talented lineup and also the team that's been there and done that and won a World Series. I'm not surprised Houston is the favorite at minus 140, but also maybe looking towards the Braves here, plus 115 after two games, tied series, and as we said, heading back to Atlanta.
Before we talk the World Series MVP updated market, that is something I wanted to ask you about, is the state, though, of the Braves staff, because Charlie Morton is now gone. He is done, unfortunately, for Atlanta the remainder of this World Series. What's the temperature on Max Fried? This is a guy in his final 11 starts of the regular season, from August until the regular season's close, had allowed 12 total earned runs. He's now allowed 11 earned in his last two outings, Donnie. Just completely smashed by two tremendous lineups, no doubt about it. But the Astros lineup isn't going anywhere. Atlanta is going to need a turn to Max Fried to win a baseball game, Donnie. One game is one game, but this is now consecutive outings here. Any worry on Max Fried for the remainder of this series and what that would mean for the Atlanta Braves?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. You would have to be a little bit worried because he's still a young pitcher. It's not as if, Ken, like, hey, man, remember back in 2016 he was dominant in the postseason? No, he's learning as he's going, and this is a huge pressure cooker, big-time environment. So he will get another start because they really don't have anybody else, and maybe that's going to help if he can go in maybe game five. But again, keep in mind, if this series continues to go, and let's just say they stretch it out and he doesn't see the mound again until game six, well, where's game six at? It's not at home, which typically it would be in a 2-2-1-1-1 series. It's going back on the road to Houston. And that's going to be one of those where you take, hey, last time I pitched here, I didn't do that well. Boy, I can really hear the fans. And I give up a single, a double to lead off the game once again here to Jose Altuve. And here we go. But that's all you have left. You know, Max Fried. Now, Ian Anderson is the ace of your staff. Drew Smyly. Heck, you might even throw a bullpen game twice in the World Series for the Braves. Things aren't looking good for that starting staff for sure.
The outlook, I think, has certainly changed because that was their big advantage between the two. Trying, and they have a very good lineup, but going lineup for lineup against Houston was not, I think, meant to be the design here overall for the Atlanta Braves. Looking at this World Series MVP updated market, we mentioned at the top, Michael Brantley is the favorite at plus 550 with Jose Altuve not that far behind at a plus 650 number. The rest of this board is 11-1 or longer. The first Braves we see, Donnie, are Soler and Freeman at that 12-1 price. Anything catch your eye as we look through now this World Series MVP market with tons of plus money through two games?
How many times in the past, Kevin, do you take a look at the World Series, right? And, you know, all throughout the years, even my own experiences, 2008 Philadelphia Phillies who beat the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series. You know, the MVP of that series was Cole Hamels, and it was lights out. The Phillies won in five games, and there was no question that he was going to be the World Series MVP. Let's take a look at the odds board here. Brantley, Altuve, Tucker, Soler, Freeman, Gurriel, Duvall, Albies, Rosario, Riley, Alvarez, Correa, and then finally, Jose Urquidy, who actually pitched well in a World Series game. Usually the pitcher gets the added bump, right? Not so fast here. 28-1 on Jose Urquidy, which shows up as the first pitcher in the lineup here for MVP odds at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And I guess you can say it's going to fluctuate again, Kevin. What happens in game three, right? Atlanta Braves win. Freddie Freeman 2-for-4 with an RBI. He then vaults himself up to the top. So it's a fun market to see day to day as it fluctuates here. But yeah, Michael Brantley sitting in that 2-hole here, as long as he continues to pile up, he's going to have a legitimate chance. Because also, Kevin, you're not supposed to think like this, like the baseball writers of America. It's not supposed to be, boy, I don't like Altuve. I don't like anybody who had anything to do with the cheating scandals. Hey, Michael Brantley's a fresh face here. You know what? We can save face. We didn't want Atlanta to win, or excuse me, the Astros to win the World Series, but it's okay if Michael Brantley gets the MVP. I'm always a conspiracy theorist thinking of things like that, but usually it's the big names, right? The Altuves, you know, Jorge Soler, Freddie Freeman. Whoever hits home runs and has big games is probably going to win this, but I do find it interesting here that Michael Brantley leads it all at plus 550.
To be fair, Brantley has been the best Astro in this series to this point, but you have to factor that stuff in. Again, Donnie, this isn't, hey, who would you give the World Series MVP to? It's who are they going to give it to here? And at the end of the day, Altuve was obviously good yesterday, but his late-inning home run, for the most part, pretty meaningless there. I mean, I know you could maybe say no home runs in a World Series are meaningless, but the game was pretty much already kind of through the door. He was 0-for-5 in the opening loss overall. I will say something we talked about before this series started, Jose Altuve to record a run and Jose Altuve to record 2+ runs continues to be a very profitable way to back Altuve. 5-1 for 2+ runs, and he cashes that once again here in this game. The World Series will be great to follow, but we transition to Thursday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday Night Football, the Arizona Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers. And boy, is this game not what we were expecting. Everybody's injured. Everybody has unfortunately been added to the Packers COVID list. Everybody is perhaps a little bit extreme, but some really key pieces are being without this game right now. Davante Adams and the Green Bay Packers, we've talked about that throughout the week, Donnie, but I have to bring up the J.J. Watt absence here for the Arizona Cardinals. And the interesting thing is, really, I can't find a line that is moved to reflect J.J.'s absence here, whether it be this game's side or total or futures markets overall for the Arizona Cardinals. So it asks the question, while a really talented player, an easy first ballot Hall of Famer, is perhaps his absence bigger in name value than on-field value?
Oh, absolutely. Will they miss him on defense? Sure they will, but not in the point spread or not overall, meaning that they can't win a game because J.J. Watt is not playing. You still have Jones and Golden rushing the pass from the outside. He gave you that nice push up the middle, versatile guy, and you knew he was going to be there. If he was healthy and playing, he was going to be a presence on the field. That does hurt because, as we said, Kevin, injury regression, not really the case here. It's not as if J.J. Watt gets injured and then the rest of the defensive line is fine the rest of the year because you only get one injury on your defensive line. This is now where attrition can build up because as we're going into week 8 in the NFL season, This is a long season. No longer 16 games. It's now 17 games. When the injuries pile up, then you might see a deficit on the defensive line. But short term right now, particularly just looking at this game tonight, J.J. Watt missing it won't be all that big of a deal. But I tell you what's even a bigger deal here is that you brought up who is actually going to play for the Green Bay Packers on offense. Because you look from one side of the field, the Arizona Cardinals, they are loaded on offense. And now you're saying for the Green Bay Packers, all right, Aaron Jones, you better show up tonight. I don't know, 15 carries, 10 catches out of the backfield, and Aaron Rodgers needs to spray the football all over the place just to be competitive. And he looks like he might have to win this game all by himself, Kevin, on offense.
Which is oddly something that kind of pushes me towards the Packers in this game. A three-point spread with Adams and Lazard all there. I think, you have some questions then about what you really want to do with the Green Bay Packers. You almost feel like maybe you're betting them to win. Could you be betting for a push? But getting this team plus 6.5 now, Donnie, at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is still the quarterback here. And the Cardinals are going to have to stop Aaron Rodgers. And certainly they'll be aided by the fact that Devontae won't be out there, nor Allen Lazard. And it looks like Randall Cobb is going to have to turn the time machine back. And maybe they can call Jordy Nelson and see if he's got anything going on here on a Thursday. But at the end of the day, 12 is still going to be holding that football for the Green Bay Packers. And you don't get plus 6.5 on 12 very often. And I know there's a lot of folks out there that have been betting against this Green Bay team, and they feel like they deserve better results. But you haven't gotten them. They've won 6 in a row. They've covered 6 in a row, Donnie, here. I'm interested by the Packers plus the points.
Yeah, and you're right, because you're going to take a look at it and say, now, wait a second. You're right. You're getting a good football team in the Packers. They're down their top weapon at wide receiver, which is the guy that makes that offense go. He's wide open every play. You triple team him. It doesn't matter. He makes the catch. Aaron Rodgers knows exactly how to get the football to him. So now you're saying, all right, well, what do we have at wide receiver here to try to go toe-to-toe with the Arizona Cardinals on a short work week here on the road? Valdez-Scantling, hey, he's coming back. Yeah, but he has a hamstring injury. This guy could play 15 snaps in this game. He could barely be game planned for, and maybe he even gets injured early in the game because he possibly came back too early because as a necessity, we need wide receivers. Get to know the names Equanimeous St. Brown on the outside for the Green Bay Packers tonight. Randall Cobb, best friends with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's got to show up tonight. He hasn't showed up primarily since he's been back with the Green Bay Packers, which when you take a look at, it's the Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers show. I'm not sure they have enough firepower because you're trying to equate the game, Kevin, right? We do know the Green Bay Packers, when they're fully healthy on offense and when they're pushed, meaning they have to score. They do, but you have the concept and it's correct. Sometimes we look at the Green Bay Packers, if you let them off the hook on offense, meaning your offense isn't playing well, they're more than happy to shut it down. Man, where was that Aaron Rodgers in the first half? We had 3 touchdown passes and they moved the football easily. In the third quarter, they didn't even get a first down. They do that quite a bit here. Now, I do think that they are going to have to press the issue because looking from an Arizona perspective on offense, they got guns all over the place. Now, DeAndre Hopkins showed up on the practice reports this week with a slight hamstring strain. We'll see how that plays out. But we've seen him damage goods already this year, and Arizona still being able to win football games because they have so many wide receivers and running backs that they can go to. And also one of those ultimate weapons in the backfield in Kyler Murray, who can throw and also run. It looks too easy to take the Arizona Cardinals, but you are correct here. It's very intriguing and it's rare that you get Aaron Rodgers that close to a touchdown, but also keep in mind, this could be one of those games where said, oh boy, remember week one where they played the New Orleans Saints on the road? Looked like they didn't want to be here. Don't be surprised if you get that Aaron Rodgers face by the second quarter that he looks bewildered after getting sacked for the third time in the first quarter because nobody's open.
What Donnie just said is incredibly important, and we'll follow this game on In Play Sports tonight. But if you bet the Packers plus 6.5, do not chase the Packers. Oh, look, they're getting 13.5. Oh, they're getting 17.5. Why does Aaron Rodgers look like he wants to be literally anywhere else than the field? That's how bad Packers games go. Like, I'm telling you, folks, go watch that game against the Saints back there. I mean, it looked like if he had his way, they would have handed it off to A.J. Dillon every single play of the second half. Just wanted to be anywhere other than that football field. When they'll lose bad, like, it will spiral out of control. We're also talking about this total, though, Donnie. And I'm very conflicted on this a little bit here because we have seen the Packers play 4 consecutive unders, and we have seen the Packers, as you've mentioned, close up shop. And in no way Should they be able to do that here against the Arizona Cardinals? But I do wonder if tonight maybe you get a little more of a heavy dose of an Aaron Jones and even an A.J. Dillon, and they try to keep the Cardinals on the sideline there. And what's more interesting, though, you have an Arizona team that has played four of their seven under. But in three of the four unders, they have scored 30 or more points, Donnie,
yeah,
which is ridiculous that that's the case, but it is. I think you pair the fact that ultimately Arizona is consistently bringing the juice here, and the Packers should but have no choice to do so as well. It pushes me towards over 50.5.
It's interesting because I actually have the opposite look in this game. And it's not because I don't think Arizona can be dynamic on offense. They can. And they can certainly get into the 30s tonight against the Green Bay Packers. My issue here is the game plan for the Green Bay Packers itself, because it's not going to be explosive. Now, hey, look, we've watched many football games here that, hey, I thought this game was going to stay under. This offense is really humming. But I just take into account, you have the COVID issues at wide receiver. Your biggest play weapon is not going to play tonight, Davante Adams. You're going on the road, not much time to game plan. And it's not as if, like, hey, last week we're going to get a double game plan in because we know we have a short work week and we know we don't have Davante Adams. That came up out of nowhere here. I'm sure half of the game plan was probably already installed when they had to redirect and say, hey, who is actually going to play for us at wide receiver this weekend? And that's going to be an issue. So when you take the go on the road, a banged up offense, what's the pathway here for the Green Bay Packers victory from a Donnie Wright side perspective? It's not let's throw the ball 45 times and go toe-to-toe with the Arizona offense. It's more short looks. It's more frustrate the defense. It's nine-play drives. It's 6 minutes off the clock. It's scoring points. It's punting the other football team deep. Because, again, if you press the Green Bay Packers, they will score. But that's always the adage when they have their weapons for me, Kevin, which they don't tonight. I see a lot of Aaron Jones out of the backfield, a lot of screen passes here, but I don't see a lot of explosive plays for the Packers. And if I don't see that, you have to get over 50 points. You need a lot of explosive plays out of both football teams. And also, Kevin, from an Arizona perspective, don't you think they know coming into the football game, we're probably not going to get a 45 passing drop-back passing performance out of Aaron Rodgers? Let's just not make the mistakes. We're the better football team here. Mm. We're at home. Let's just take care of our business. So I know you're looking for the over. I'm leaning a little bit towards the under here tonight.
And I think that's totally fair. I think, again, the total can be tricky. And as well, I think the total, it's one of those, Donnie, where you're going to have a great opportunity to assess this game live. If you bet over 56.5 live, a lot of people say, oh, but yeah, but you missed out on the best number. Yeah, but you didn't have a lot of information. Because if you see a 56.5 live, maybe you say, oh, listen, you know what? Rodgers is going tonight, and he's on it, and the Packers are going to roll here, and the Cardinals obviously are going to be able to match that intensity, and they can play over. But as Donnie said, Green Bay hands it off 10 times on an opening drive, settles for three. All of a sudden, we're playing a lower-scoring football game. I think it's a great point still made by him. All in all, Donnie, we'll be able to break this props market down in full in the second hour, you know, really dive deep into this game. But yeah, a lot of the stuff we're talking about here, Aaron Jones, a 59.5 rushing yard prop, and A.J. Dillon, a 30.5 rushing yards prop. Those feel like a couple of numbers that people are going to be intrigued by.
Absolutely. But also, I think we're missing the big picture here as well, because you're right. I have circled down both of those guys as a look here. A couple of Arizona Cardinals could be in the picture. We're usually looking towards Kyler Murray and his 27.5. Now, what did we just go over? The depleted offense for the Green Bay Packers, which means quarterbacks might need to do a little bit more here in scrambling. Mm. And that's looking at you, Aaron Rodgers, over 9.5 minus 113 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If they want to move the football, he's going to have to do more tonight, including maybe scrambling and using his legs a little bit more than he wants to, Kevin.
Which also might work into the Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wright side theory that does not need research to back it or prove it right or wrong. Quarterbacks always score touchdowns in prime time. Rodgers, 6-1. He's been running it in. Kyler's also plus 145. Kyler scored a rushing touchdown in the first 3 weeks of the season and has now not crossed the end zone in four straight weeks. I thought he was due last week. They didn't play a real football team in the Houston Texans. Perhaps this week against the Packers, Kyler can get in there. We'll talk in some hot or not topics next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As always, on a Thursday, we look for some teams that could possibly put up a lot of points, or teams like the Houston Texans that probably won't score a touchdown. They're so bad, man. Let's start with the high. I don't understand how the Texans are real. Let's start with the highest scoring team in Week 8 here, Donnie. Looking through this board, one team that jumps out a little bit here. The Dallas Cowboys, the third choice, 9-1, Sunday night football. Hot or not, the Dallas Cowboys will be the highest scoring team in Week 8.
They have a good chance. They really do. But I'm going to go not on this one because I'm going to go hunting for some better prices against some bad defenses. Now, you do have two teams with the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings rested and ready for this game. You should get points. We're not worried about weather. It's going to be in a dome. Dak Prescott practiced yesterday. Everybody said, I can't tell if he's injured or not. Looks like his calf is ready to go. So that might be a boom. But let's take a look at the highest scoring numbers here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Buffalo Bills at plus 650. Makes a lot of sense. Did you see them obliterate the Miami Dolphins a couple weeks ago? And also the Miami Dolphins seemingly can't stop anybody. That makes some sense. How about the Rams, 750? They should be able to walk up and down the field against the Houston Texans this weekend. Dallas Cowboys, as we stated, at 9-1. Chargers 11-1. Tampa Bay at 11-1 as well. But I'm going further and further down the rabbit hole. And I'm going to pick a team, Kevin, here, over the last 2 weeks that notched 34 points, that notched 41 points, and now plays a Jets defense that is ready to give up maybe another 50 spot. So if you're looking at a team that I just teased right there, let's just take a look at the New York Jets here. No, Jets aren't going to be the high scoring game of the week here, or high scoring team of the week. I'm looking at the team they're playing, the Cincinnati Bengals. If you take a look here, they gave up 26 points to the Broncos, didn't score any points. So just an easy game, walk in the park, but still in the high 20s. The Texans say, hey, Donnie, the Jets actually beat the Texans 27-24. Those 24 points here by the Titans, keep in mind, they had no wide receivers in that football game, and Tannehill threw for 200 or close to 300 yards in that game. They go to London. They lose to the Falcons and give up 27 points. There was no Calvin Ridley in that football game, and yet Matt Ryan scorched them for over 300 yards. And oh, yeah, there was last week. The New England Patriots dropped 54 points on the Jets. So why are we lining up the Cincinnati Bengals? What are the Jets going to be able to stop here? Mixon? Nope. Joe Burrow might win the Heisman again on Sunday here against the New York Jets. Three dominant wide receivers, and keep in mind as well, you say you always like to need a running mate. Maybe you have the opposite of a running mate this weekend because there might be a lot of three and outs by those New York Jets this weekend. Cincinnati should be in the 30s. That should give you a decent look at highest scoring team of the week. And oh, yeah, the price tag with that, Kevin, a 15-1. Let's go, Bengals.
It's hard to argue with 15-1. We'll talk a little more about the Jets in the lowest scoring market because the prices are stark over there. I'll say on the Dallas Cowboys, the last 4 weeks of action, 41, 36, 44, 35. I mean, my goodness, does this team get after it or what? Averaging 34.2 points per game off a bye. With that being said, on the road, Minnesota's weirdly had some all right defensive performances here. Look, 9-1 on Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys does make a lot of sense. Although the last time we saw Dak, he had a boot on walking off a podium. There is another team I did want to bring up, Donnie. One longer shot there. Donnie's looking at the Bengals 15-1. Same price as the Tennessee Titans. What about the team playing the Tennessee Titans, though? I mean, Donnie, Indianapolis Colts are 22-1. I mean, you look at the last two games here for Indy, 31 and 30 respectively. That game, I think, will be high scoring. They've seen this Titans defense already. I know they only scored 16. Carson Wentz had two ankles that did not work when they played that game here. I think Wentz right now is playing with a world of confidence, which, yes, does mean he throws the ball sometimes to maybe teams he shouldn't and gets a little wild. Again, that, you know, shovel pass into a linebacker that played for the Niners wasn't great overall. But 22-1, Donnie, on the Indianapolis Colts. When you look at the teams around them, I mean, you got Denver. Then again, they're playing that awful Washington defense there. But Cleveland, who are all banged up, the Colts at 22-1, catch the eye a little, Donnie.
No, they do catch the eye a little bit here. And also keep in mind, you know, them scoring 30 points in a bomb cyclone without very many wide receivers that were healthy. Mm-hmm. You do want to make sure that T.Y. Hilton, which you're going to start getting the meaty practice reports today on Thursdays and Fridays of who's going to go Sunday. They need all the help they can get there. But you're right. Why not take a look at that? Because you are going to have to answer the bells. This looks like it's going to be a hard-fought struggle on offense and bad weather conditions. No, it's in a dome. These two teams know each other well. They should be able to get after it. It's not a bad look here, but I need the deep threat T.Y. Hilton in the game here for the Colts on Sunday for that to happen.
You would have at least that running mate there, which certainly could help the situation here. We look towards lowest scoring team, and there is a group that is playing someone they've already seen, and the first go around, they didn't muster up any points. That is the Miami Dolphins, who travel to Buffalo, Donnie, and are 11-1 to be the lowest scoring team, hot or not. Miami, the lowest scoring team here in week 8.
I'm going to go not here, because at least Tua Tagovailoa will be healthy for this football game, which he wasn't, got knocked out early, and Jacoby Brissett couldn't do anything against the Buffalo Bills. Now, this is dangerous territory here for the Miami Dolphins, because you're going up against a rested and ready Buffalo Bills team at home with a Dolphins team seemingly going nowhere, but I do think Tua is playing for his NFL life here in Miami, which could equate to some points at least. But to me, overall, in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, this is the most intriguing market that we have, because it's fun to look at who's going to score the most points. But that seems like it's a coin flip at times. Like, hey, anybody can really get after it. But the one thing we do know, the teams that aren't going to get after it, those are much more fun to try to pinpoint because the prices aren't low. Like, hey, you know, New York Jets out here, plus 100 to be the lowest scoring game of the week. How about the Houston Texans? 2-1. No. Look at the Jets at a 5-1 price. Now, they're a bad football team. Do I think they score a lot? No, I don't. But anytime you are getting the Houston Texans at a 10-1 price to be the lowest scoring team of the week playing an elite defense. Now, some people, hey, Donnie, watch out. Tyrod Taylor might come back. I would be really extremely surprised if Tyrod Taylor plays this weekend coming off of the IR. You at least want that guy to be healthy to give you a fighting chance down the stretch here. So what has shown us that the Houston Texans can move the football in the post Tyrod Taylor era after the first two games against the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Browns, Kevin? The Panthers, 9 points they exploded for. The Bills, they were even better, right? They didn't even score in that game. And then the anomaly at home versus the Patriots, where they actually scored 22 points, but they went right back to being Houston with 3 points and 5 points, and now facing the Rams defense. I can't pass up a 10-1 price, Kevin, on the lowest scoring team of the week being the Houston Texans. It just looks too easy.
It's an unbelievable shout, and I think Donnie is right. Look, if Tyrod is back, you step away, and you maybe grab some 14.5 with the Houston Texans. Davis Mills has been a starting quarterback for 5 games, and in 3 of the 5 has not led his team into the end zone. It is now 9 consecutive quarters since the Texans scored a touchdown. They are terrible on that side of the football. There are 2 teams that I have to bring up, though. One is the Jets. For them to be half of the Texans is crazy to me. Like, they're 5-1. Like, I get it, Mike White, maybe it's Joe Flacco. No way. I know Cincinnati's defense has been better. Typically, I don't look at this market and say that team is, like, not booked correctly, because usually it's just all great big plus prices. I find that one to be a little bit robust there. But I have to bring up another team further down the board, because Donnie, the thing is, you don't have to go crazy here hunting plus money, but if you try and go a little bit further down, maybe you can find some real wild value. And I got to bring up a team that since week 2 has not been able to get to even 20 points on the board. Only week 1 were they able to cross that threshold. Last week they scored 19, and they were playing maybe the best game that they've played all season long. They've not won a single game all season, and they're 26-1 to be the lowest scoring team going up against that vaunted Philadelphia Eagles defense there. What are the Detroit Lions doing down there at 26-1? You mean to tell me it's more likely the Colts, who I just said might be the highest scoring team, are more likely to be the lowest scoring team than the Detroit Lions? What's the deal here, Donnie?
Yeah, what's the deal even worse here, if looking from a Philadelphia Eagles perspective, that the Detroit Lions are 26-1 and the Eagles are actually 27-1 right behind them to be the lowest scoring team of the week. So good luck in the Motor City Bowl this weekend. More like the MAC championship game. Seems like it's being played in Detroit this weekend between the Detroit Lions and the Eagles. But you're right. I mean, what are you going to get out of this game? Like, if Jared Goff comes out and goes 25 of 35 for 305 yards and Swift goes wild. You know what I mean? But they shouldn't be able to score that much. You know, where's big play Slay back here? Steven Nelson. Give me a pass rush for once, Derek Barnett. My goodness, if Detroit runs up and down the field and drops into the mid-20s on the Eagles, my oh my, the wheels coming off fast here in Philadelphia.
26-1. They went insane and scored 33 week one and haven't been able to hit 20 in six straight games. The Eagles, what a nightmare. Now, one other thing that we like to look for here on this weekly specials board will kind of be some of these red zone specials. They're not posted just yet. I anticipate they will be posted. Donnie and I last week on the weekend were getting involved. I was able to bring home a plus 750 number on Heinicke, Tua, Rodgers, and Ryan all to throw for 250 passing. Donnie was moving numbers on every team to have a rushing touchdown, that if he would have hit that bet, he might have not even been on the early line the next day. He would have been celebrating in some foreign island here. Again, we don't have a ton of these yet, but one that did jump out a little bit, Donnie, from this Colts-Titans game that we've been talking here, Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry to combine for 200-plus rushing yards, a payout of plus 120. It goes to show what happens when good old Derrick Henry gets in the mix here. Any love for the two starting running backs in this game that get for 200 rushing yards?
Yeah, that's hot. There's a lot of love here in this game because you have two explosive running backs. So if you take a look and say there's going to be points in this game, I don't know, if each one of these guys is approaching 15 to 18, maybe to 20 carries apiece, why not get it? Because you're asking them to do something that they typically do every weekend also. When you've seen it time and time again, Jonathan Taylor struggling, they have, oh, look, an 80-yard run. We've seen the same things as explosive plays out of Derrick Henry. You just need one of these guys to approach 100 yards, and you will be in the ball game. So both of these guys to combine for 200 yards, I think it makes a lot of sense at plus 120. And I tell you what's crazy also with the FanDuel Sportsbook now. Usually you open up the lines beginning of the week, say, okay, this team's favored by this much. What's the total for the game? The weekly specials and the match specials are absolutely sensational. And take my iframe from Friday all the way to Sunday, like, where can I do some damage here? This one looks off, but that's a great one here between Henry and Taylor over 200. I think they can get there. I do.
Absolutely. Look, they played in week three, the Titans and the Colts. They combined for 177 as Derrick Henry went out, got after it, a buck 13 on the ground. Taylor only gave you the 64. Well, since then, Jonathan Taylor has given you 100 rushing yards in three of the four games. He now, if he gets to 100, Donnie, you have every expectation of cashing that ticket because Derrick Henry has been over the 100 rush yard mark in five games already this season, a season high at 182. Folks, you might hit this bet on Derrick Henry alone. It's Derrick Henry. The man is an absolute marvel here at the running back position, and a plus 120 price is not bad stuff. A lot of good weekly specials that I'm sure will be coming about as the week does develop. But up next, we'll talk some Thursday night college football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday night college football delivers a top 25 team in action. Coastal Carolina just hanging on to that status, though. The number 24 team in the country hosts the Troy Trojans, a team that DRS was telling me over the break. He thinks Scrappy maybe live in this game here. Donnie's 17.5 point dogs. Are they being disrespected? I see a total of 51.5 in a Coastal game. You tell me, maybe too high.
Yeah, it might be too high. Detroit Trojans here, getting confused with the USC Trojans out here tonight with some defense being played. But also keep in mind the FanDuel Sportsbook opened up at 54.5 in this total. It's now down to 51.5. Now, Troy does have a decent defense, should be able to slow down the rushing game of Coastal Carolina. But here's the key indicator, right? What do you do? Check injuries right away. No real big injuries tonight. You check the weather. Rain and windy conditions at Coastal Carolina tonight. So that is going to have an impact. Looks like a lot of running on the ground, which you run right into that Trojan defense. They are decent, holding teams to under 100 yards on the season per game and 2.6 yards per carry. That's going to have a major impact. So you're right. If you're just looking at, say, wait a second, Coastal Carolina goes up and down the field on just about everybody. Why is this total only 51.5? That is the reason. So if you're going to get some rainy, wet, windy conditions, the ball will be on the ground. I'm looking towards the under. When you never look towards the under in a game here with Coastal Carolina tonight, just might be that night in the rain down at Coastal.
I think I'm offended by this analysis from Donnie, even if it was all well thought out, valid, insightful, helpful. I didn't want to hear any of this under in a Coastal weekday game. The only reason they put Coastal on a weekday is so I can bet over in the game. This is unacceptable action.
Say
also,
Chanticleer.
I think Donnie
Say
has Chanticleer. A grudge.
Say it.
The Chanticleers Say. Didn't help DRS out last week on the boost line. Look, we need a Chanticleers boost to get back in the saddle. Yeah. Listen, what's their money line? Minus 1050? Drop a zero off that. Give us a
Troy
boost.
Outright.
Minus 105 on Coastal to win
Troy
this
outright.
Game. Troy outright. Wait a second. Rank Troy. Rank Troy. Hour two's next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.